on a wilderness escape after the children of Israel have lived 400 years in Egypt. And things really got rough. And in fact, they got so bad in Egypt that the people didn't really like it because they were enslaved and they were being pressured and working too hard. And so we're going to go on a wilderness escape. And I will add to this that this is VBS week, and I'm excited about VBS. I remember when I was a boy, my mother told me, we're going to have 2 weeks of vacation Bible school. And my little mind connected vacation Bible school that 2 weeks I wasn't going to have to go to Sunday school. And then I found out I was going to go every day for 2 weeks. And guess what? I had a good time. And I never really outgrown VBS as a kid. And I deeply admire the work that Emily and Katie have done. And I've taught in VBS and stood behind the scenes and actually directed VBS, so I deeply value it. Well, this staff, I want to say, is a special staff that Pastor Keith and Fiona found out in the woods. And this staff really represents a lot with Moses, because when he raised this staff, God worked. And when the staff went down, God didn't work. It was a symbol. And it tells us something about who God is. God is powerful. All right, we're gonna look at this wilderness escape today. And in the wilderness escape, we need to go on to slide two. I don't know if he's... Okay. Yeah, Moses, he was born in a time when they were killing Jews. And his mother didn't want him killed, so she put him in a basket in the Nile. Actually, that was kind of risky because the Nile River has 16 to 20-foot crocodiles that eat a lot of people every year. But I think she really hoped something would happen that did happen. And that is Pharaoh's daughter found Moses and took him in. And actually, Moses, as a Jew, was raised as a Jew, but he was raised in Egypt with an Egyptian education, but he always remained Jewish. And his life was quite an adventure. It was in three different segments. And Moses, we see here, eventually they left Egypt. And we're going to get into that in a minute. All right. There's a lot of character lessons we're going to learn from Moses this week in VBS. And they were guided by two things. They were guided by a pillar of fire by night, and they were guided by a cloud by day. I think this is amazing because, you know, I've all watched clouds in the sky. You know what happens to clouds in the sky within a minute or so? They move on. Except maybe here in northern Ohio it gets too cloudy. But even then, the sun's still shining. But nevertheless, the cloud guided them. That's the power of God. And everywhere they went, there was either a cloud by day or a pillar of fire by night. And then eventually they left Egypt. And you know, when they left Egypt, there was a wall of water. And actually they marched down towards the sea, and Pharaoh's army found out about it, and they thought, oh, we got them now. We'll just let them have a nice night at the campground, and we're going to go get them. And the next morning, God opened up the sea to a wall of water. I can't imagine that, a wall of water. Although, you know, Bonnie and I stood by a wall of water last week, and it was about 15 or 20 feet high, and there was lots of fish in the water. But guess what? We were in the aquarium in Atlanta, and here's a wall. I've never seen a wall of water. Water doesn't, wherever you put water, it goes out. God created a wall, because what? He created the water. And he created the water to stand up. And then he dried up the ground. And the Israelites went through on dry ground. And they were saying, we're about a million of them. Now, you got literally, that takes a long time to move a million people. And then Pharaoh's army thought, oh, we're going to go get them. And so they went to get them, and they found out, uh-oh, The ground began to get wet, and then the wall of water came in, and they were done. And so, all right, we're going to move on here. All right. There's a tremendous statement here that is made. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent thee. This is my name forever as a memorial to all generations. I think these two key words sum up the Bible. A pronoun and a verb. I am. And if you get that straight, the rest of the Bible's easy. Because God is, God has been, and God will be. He always is. And it got Jesus in an awful lot of trouble when he used I am in John 8. They wanted to kill him. That's when they decided they wanted to kill him. Because you can't be I am. You're not even 50 years old. Well, they didn't really see who he was. But Joshua later on said something about to focus in on, meditate on God's word day and night. That's very important. Okay. We're going to, another key passage to understand Moses is what is the Shema. And the Shema, it comes from Deuteronomy. And that is that you are to respect the word of God, and you put it on the doorposts, and you put it on the lampstands, and you talk about it, and you teach it to your kids, and you tell people about it. And that's very important to keep God's word and realize there's power in God's word. God's word is true. And we see Moses here. Moses, actually, we saw this one time. There's a church in Rome called St. Peter's of the Change Church up on one of the hills of Rome. And we were in that church one time, and in a corner up front is this statue. This is Michelangelo's Moses, a little different than David. Moses has clothes on. But nevertheless, this is Moses. It's kind of strange because it's got little horns on the top, but that's Michelangelo's way of saying that Moses had a special connection with God. I think he did have a special connection with God. He went on top of the mountain and got the Ten Commandments. That's a special connection with God. And then he raised his staff. That isn't me, is it? No. Oh, I never know. That's all right. No offense. Anyhow, you know, it was a special connection with God that caused that water to become a wall. It was a special connection with God that provided what was provided for Moses. Well, this is Michelangelo's Moses, and then we actually went to saw the David. We walked out of the David's Christian bookstore across the street in Florence, and I bought this poster. And so that's Moses, and Moses is a special person. Because God used him in a mighty, mighty way. All right, the first 40 years, he actually was in the palace. And then he spent 40 years as a runaway and a kind of a fugitive in Egypt. And then God put him to work at age 80. 80! He put him to work. And he had to lead the children of Israel. And it really wasn't, you know, it was a tough job. All right. Now, on VBS day one, Moses and Pharaoh's 10 plagues. Israel escapes Egypt. God is with us. I want you to say that. Trust God. Trust God. And that's the theme of VBS. And so Moses went to Pharaoh not one time, two times, three times, four times, six times, seven times, eight times, nine, but 10 times. And what was his plea? Let my people go. And Pharaoh said what? What, say it.
No.
No way. Say it.
No way.
Can you imagine the courage? And of course, Moses was short on words, and God gave him Aaron to speak. They weren't listening to either one of them. They didn't listen to him. And he was peered before Pharaoh. All right, we're going to look at here. Now they sent, and after each of those no's was, first there was water turns to blood, and then there were frogs, and then there were lice, and then there were flies, and then there were sick cattle, and there were boils, and fire, and hail, and locusts, and darkness, and finally the Passover. You know, the people of Egypt knew something. What do you think they knew? Somebody's in charge that's not down in Pharaoh's palace. It was much greater than Pharaoh. The power of God was at work. All right, now we're going to move on here. Day two, God provided daily food. 40 years, God gives what we need. What are we to do?
Trust God.
We're to trust God. God provided the people. Now, you know, this is kind of, Carson, I don't think this will happen to you, but I spent 30 months in Fort Benning on Sand Hill as a legal clerk and a finance clerk. But nevertheless, we had something happen to food down there one time. Actually, the food I ate in the Army is really good, but they had a problem with food, and we had either every day, every other day, liver and chicken. Actually, I used to like liver, but after that, I never did turn me off on chicken, but it took me a while to get used to it again because they had some problems with food. These people had manna every morning. Now, I know it had to be good because God made it, but can you imagine even something you really like that's good and having to eat it every single morning? And, of course, they were ornery. They didn't believe. God said, don't try to store it. And they stored it and then turned to maggots. Maggots become flies. Oh, yuck. And then they gave them quail. Now, quail is a strong taste in chicken. I never had quail. And I probably wouldn't really like it, although I do like chicken. But that's what they had. All right, they spent 40 years out there in the wilderness. No time off. Wandering in a desert. In fact, it was if they'd have walked through even under the laws of the Jewish people, they could have made it in 11 days. They spent 40 years. I can't imagine 40 years in the same place. And you know, the only thing they had was sky and desert. And I'll tell you, you know, we flew to Africa. When we flew to Africa, we flew over the Sahara. We flew for 2 hours. I sit there, I was on the right side of the plane, 2 hours. And you know what I saw for 2 hours? Sand. The Sahara, and we only saw the short part of the Sahara Desert, much wider. It's bigger than the United States. But desert, it didn't look too appealing to me. Sky and sand, sky and sand, sky and sand. And that's what they had for 40 years. All right, and during the 40 years, the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness, but God what? Provided for them. When? Every single day. All right. Now, but not, guess what the people responded? Oh, they grumbled. You know what got to me as I did this study? There's actually Bible verses that tells who grumbled and where they grumbled. Now, I like to travel, but can you imagine up at mile marker number 43 is when Joe and Harry grumbled. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, that's in the Bible. And it wasn't like they just happened to have a little tiny grumble. They were grumbled all the time. In a desert, the whole community grumbled. So mumbling, grumbling's not God's way. Say nice words are best. Saying nice words are best each day. So I'm going to say that again. I want you to say nice words are best each day. Mumbling, grumbling, not God's way.
Say nice words are best each day.
Mumbling, grumbling are not God's way. Well, that's something to think about. Now, here's the other side of that. Do everything without complaining or arguing, Paul says. Oh, you know what we need? We need more of Jesus, less drama, less selfishness, less complaining, less bitterness, less gossip, less anger, and less me, and less, oh, my goodness, this is getting so, this pinches, you know, it gets to you. But be cheerful. No matter what, we pray all the time, thank God. Prayer succeeds when all else fails. And we need to do what the psalmist said in Psalm 23, allow the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All right. All right, day three, Israel defeats the Amalekites. These were descendants of Esau. And you know they went out there and God gives us strength for each day. What are we to do? Trust God. And you know, what happened was, you know what Moses had to do in order to win the battle, he had to keep his arm up. I want everyone to put your arm up. Put your arm up. How do you think he'd feel if he had to hold that arm up for 10 minutes? What's it going to happen? It's going to get real heavy. Oh, you can put your hand up. And same thing happened to Moses. But you know what? Hur and Aaron held his arm up. Why did they hold his arm up? Because they wanted Israel to what? Win. And so we see that that's a tremendous story. It's in the Bible. And you know what a reminder of? We need one another. It's teamwork. No one's smarter than all of us. We work together as a team. All right. Now we go on here. We're going to see something else here, maybe. We've got some technical problems today, and I can't use the change. All right, you know, one of the most tremendous chapters, there's chapters in the middle of Exodus, and you know who visits Moses is his father-in-law, Jethro. And Moses starts telling him how much problem he has because the people come to him and talk to him all day long. And Jethro looks at Moses, and he says, "You can't do this anymore, Moses. You need to have help. You need teamwork." And I read this. I thought, you know, I've read a lot on management, and I have 2 counseling degrees. I never heard this before. But I think this is good counseling principle. This is actually management stuff. Delegate. Delegate. And finally, Moses delegated, and life became a little more comfortable for Moses, and it happens to all of us. We need one another. And so then we see how he led them out of Egypt. There's that wall of water. We can't imagine what that was like. We can't imagine what that was like. And so it was tremendous how they escaped from Egypt. All right, VBS day 4, God saves us. What are we to do? God saves us. Trust God. All right, so God saves us. And we see, finally, after the 10th, they're putting the blood on the doorposts. And this is the forerunner, what became Passover. And that's what Jesus Christ became, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, last of the Old Testament prophets, introduced him in John 1:29. Behold the Lamb, which came to do what? Take away the sins of the world. He kept trying to tell his disciples this, and they didn't get it. Finally, at the end, when it all ended, I think we know now what he was talking about. And so, you know, it's the beginning of all that, and that's the connection between the Old and the New Testament. It starts a long time ago. It just didn't start at the time of Christ. It comes all the way back to the Old Testament. All right. Now, and we see in the New Testament, Jesus becomes the great I am. I'm the vine. I'm the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm light of the world. I'm the resurrection and life, and I am the gate. And you know, that's how we can come to Christ. We see a person going down the road of life, and they cross over, and the bridge to life is a cross. And if they come to the place that they believe in Jesus and receive him and become, they believe, receive, become, John 1:12 comes alive. Believe in God, receive Christ, become his child. And that's how we, and that the gospel is going to be presented in VBS. All right. In day 5, God gave Moses. You know what God gave Moses? He went up on a mountain one day, and God gave him what? What did he give him? Huh? Ten Commandments. And then he starts coming down the mountain, and he hears sounds like a party down there. And it got louder, and it got louder. And he got down there at the bottom of the mountain, and what did he find? A big, huge, golden calf. And he asked, "How did you guys get that golden calf?" Now, when they left Egypt, the people of Egypt were glad to get rid of them, and they gave them a lot of gold. And they took that gold, and they told Moses, "Hey, we just took this gold and we threw it in the fire, and it came out this calf." I mean, what a dog-ated story that was, you know. Oh, my, you know, that's one of the most concocted stories ever. It's amazing. That's the kind of people he was working with. And so Moses wasn't too nice. What he made, you know, he melted the stuff down and made him drink it, but I don't know if that was a very good way to go, but nevertheless, he did it. You know, he was disgusted. He had been on top of the mountain, speak right before in the presence of who? Getting what? Not 10 suggestions or 10 alternatives or 10 possibilities, the 10 commandments. So then he goes up on top of the mountain again, and God starts all over again. Now we're going to have an encore. I hope they got it straight. And so they finally got the Ten Commandments. And you know, all right, we're going to go on here. And in the Ten Commandments, oh, here's these people doing, they're melting down, and you know, all that's done. And I like these, this is kind of a kid's version. Only have one God. Worship Him only. Do not use bad words. Work 6 days a week and rest. Obey your mom and your dad. Never hurt anyone. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Always tell the truth. And don't be jealous to others. And so you see Moses with the Ten Commandments. You know the interesting thing about the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments, four of them relate to God. The first four talks about our relationship to God. When I see the cross there, I think of our relationship to God. But then the other six relates to how we're supposed to relate to people. And you know, Jesus was asked one day, what's the greatest commandment? The Pharisees thought, we'll nail him now. We'll ask him, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength, and all your might, and your neighbors yourself. He boiled it down to the 4-6. And they didn't know what to say, because he was right. Because that's God's plan, how to live. Okay. Now, these are kids' versions of the Ten Commandments. And it's interesting that when you rework it, it kind of helps them to understand what really they're all about. Okay. All right, we go back to the picture here. That's of the statue of Moses that's in the church. And here's what we have. These things were written as an example for our instruction. That's what these kids are going to learn about this week, the Word of God. The Word of God coming alive for them. And this can be a real turning point for kids. It can begin to make an impression upon their lives. And then we see that's a Moses and olive wood over there. And so they're going to learn the lessons from God for this week. All right, now, in summary, Moses was God's chosen leader. Now, as God's chosen leader, one thing that map lacks, we don't actually know where they crossed the water, but they did. And nevertheless, they left Egypt. And then they went down there and they wandered around in that area for 40 years, and finally they had permission to go into the promised land. And then it comes sometimes for Moses to die. And God allowed Moses to go on top of the mountain and see where he was going, but he wasn't allowed to go. But he did get to see ahead. All right. Now, in VBS, day one, God is with us. What are we to do?
Trust God.
Day two, God gives us what's needed. What are we to do?
Trust God.
Day three, God gives us daily strength. What are we to do?
Trust God.
Day four, God saves us.
Trust God.
And day five, God guides and protects us. What are we to do? And so we see in the wilderness escape where God guides and provides. All right. This is our VBS. I'm really excited. Be in prayer. This is a real outreach into the community. And that's what the church is all about. The church is reaching the people that are not here. And also reaching the people that are here. But it can encourage us, it can bless us, it can teach us. And I want to say one thing. I want to go back to the complainer. You know, the complainer this year, my cohort is Joel. I thought, Joel, you're the nicest grumbler I've ever met. But But I'm sure he'll do a good job. But, you know, sometimes people that grumble aren't real nice. I think you maybe met one or two somewhere along the line. And but God gives you grace to deal with it. All right, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the life of Moses and how you worked through this man in Egypt and in the wilderness, and how we even here just several millenniums later are still talking about Moses, because he's marked what he did, and your plan has touched the